But anyways, like I say, these are, it, you know, you've heard the saying of obviously you are what you eat. And that's the thing is that if we want to learn, if we want to be a good steward of our time here on earth and stuff, I think that, there, you know, it's a good thing for us to memorize scripture. The Bible tells us to meditate upon his word and that we need to memorize it and that, to hide his word in our heart, right? And so, you know, I can't overemphasize enough the importance of diet when it comes to memorizing the Bible. If you actually are, it says that you got to, you know, be very, very disciplined in one area, and I'm going to tell you about this, and I'll give you the website to go to. I tried to print off this to help you out, but I couldn't, it wasn't printing off properly, which is that by properly eating and everything else and just being able to do things as far as, you know, trying to memorize scripture, if you're very, very diligent in it, there's actually a plan where you can memorize the entire New Testament in 5 years. The entire New Testament in 5 years. And like I said, it takes some diligence. It definitely takes some discipline. It definitely takes those things to do it and a strong desire to do it. But, you know, it is possible. I've met, you know, people that have done that, you know, have done that very thing. And I'm just like, I feel like a failure right now. But then I was like, you know what? I don't want to feel that way, but it's always good to know that there are, that it is possible to do it, because we know of back in Bible times that they were expected to memorize the Old Testament. The Old Testament is bigger than the New Testament. So if they can memorize the Old Testament, we should be able to memorize the New Testament. And I met people with the aspirations of actually, they say, I want to memorize the entire Bible. And I said, that's a good aspiration to have, but you got to have, you know, if you got to do that kind of stuff, you got to have good discipline. You got to be ready to go on that kind of stuff. But anyways, and a lot of these things, you know, I've actually realized since I've gotten some of these things out of my life, I am remembering things more. I'm just telling you that. That as I've lessened these out of my life, things have gotten better. And as I began to eat, you know, some of these items that I didn't eat before or didn't eat as much, I'm remembering things better. And so I'm not saying this is going to stop any other kind of genetic disease or anything else, but there are things that I believe that God wants us to do. So let's go through the good brain foods, the good ones. I want you to feel good about yourself right at the beginning. So these are good ones to help you remember. Avocados. Bananas. Some of you are like, I like all of these so far. Beef. But it has to be lean beef. Lean. What are you giving me this snarl look for? Miss Mary just all of a sudden popped up and she was like, lean beef, I don't want that. I don't think unless my wife has slipped this in there, I don't think I've heard of this one, which is brewer's yeast. Brewer's yeast. And they said that's a good one. I think she's put it in like soup. I think that's what she has put it in. Brown rice. If I'm going too fast, just let me know. I know I can talk faster than you can write. Brussels sprouts. Now, my daughter by now, even though she eats all of this, would have said ew to something on this list already. I know she would have. She said, ew, that's gross, and yet she's eating it like all the time. Cantaloupe. Cheese. It doesn't say any, you know, any specific one, just cheese. So I probably, yeah, cheese. I would probably stay away from the Limburger, not because it'll, whatever, just because you might stink a little bit after you have it. But, Mr. Bobby, we're going through the different foods that will actually help you remember things and be able to memorize scripture, all right?
Yeah.
Well, you're down at the ball field. It says beef. You're cooking hamburgers over there. You know, you're probably good to go on those. Chicken is the next one. Now, I'm assuming on a lot of this, you probably can't fry it. Because you're probably frying out all the good stuff out of. I hate to say that because I like fried food. I mean, I just had to go to the doctor the other day, you know, so they can check my cholesterol. So, you know, don't say that I don't, you know. But, so yeah, chicken, collard greens. Some of you are going, how many of you are 100% right now? Or pretty close, you know, I say 95 to 100%. You see? You see? But is it, how do you make your collard greens? You know, that's so how you make your collard greens and your chicken. Is it fried chicken? Because I am in the Mid-South. I know that, you know, I know fried is a food group. I know it is.
Now I bake my chicken now.
And oh, bake it.
As far as collard greens, I just bolt.
See, she's being good about this. I'd have been like fried chicken and everything, but you can't. All right, eggs. Flaxseed oil. And some of these you can find as like far as like, you know, cooking your stuff in. You can actually cook, you know, like in some of this stuff as well. Legumes. Legumes. One legume that, you know, that is, you know, pretty common is a peanut. Even though that, you know, peanut, you know, says nut in it, it's not a nut, it's a peanut. Oh, sorry, it's a legume. So it messed me up because I was, just, you know, my wife told me that it was not a nut, and I said, it has nut in the name. How can it be anything else but a nut? And she said, it's a legume. I said, okay. Milk. I'm assuming there are a lot of these ones that everybody in here is, you know, going to like. I mean, it's not like something that's like, I'll tell you right now, tofu is not on here. It's, I'm just telling you that right now. Oatmeal is the next one. Oatmeal. Now those are that's through the poppy seeds. No, that's not. No, not that one.
Be careful.
Oranges. She said that she thought that when I said oatmeal, that I said opium. And I said, no, that would be through poppy seeds, because if you eat a lot of poppy seeds, if you take a drug test, you'll test positive for opium. I only found that out because, you know, I was told to take a drug test, and they said, whatever you do, don't eat poppy seeds beforehand. And I found out that there was a reason why, and that's the reason why. So next one is peanut butter. Yep. This is not an exhaustive list. There's actually more on here. Peas, potatoes. Miss Mary's like, I got this. Yeah. Romaine lettuce. Romaine lettuce. The reason why is because if you get iceberg lettuce, they say you know that it pretty much has no nutritional value. But romaine lettuce has like all the kind of like vitamins and stuff in there as well. Salmon, soybeans. Spinach and tuna. And then turkey, wheat germ, and yogurt. The only two that I'm kind of, you know, not really sure whether or not how much I eat all that much is the brewer's yeast and the wheat germ. But I'm sure that it's probably in some of the stuff that I've, you know, that my wife makes somewhere along the line, because, you know, she puts all that stuff in there. So you can probably ask my wife on some of the stuff, like how to use it, and she's done it before. You know, she's made quite a bit.
What is a wheat germ? I'm sorry. What is a wheat germ?
It's a germ, it's a word, germ that comes from a wheat. No, I'm just kidding. It's a... I believe it's almost like kind of like the, you know, the yeast that's actually, it adds something to the flavoring and stuff, right, Ms. Tanya?
It's toppings.
Yeah, toppings. There you go. All right, let's go to the bad stuff. I'm hoping that I get 100% on this first one. Alcohol. Alcohol is a bad brain food. It kind of help. It kind of, you know, brings to mind like, hey, why do people always seem a little bit more not there when they have alcohol? Well, this might be the reason why. Artificial food colorings. Artificial sweeteners. That's one of the things is that a lot of people think that drinking diet soda is better. But there's artificial sweeteners in there that make it actually worse for you. I mean, people say, well, this is diet. It's better for me. And I was like, no, it's actually worse for you. I mean, the next thing is cola. And then corn syrup. My daughter's not going to like this next one. Frostings. High sugar drinks. And hydrogenated fats. Hydrogenated fats. Junk sugars. When they mean by junk sugars, like you have a lot of fruit that has sugar in it, but that's a natural sugar, it's a good sugar. But there's junk sugars, like, you know, like you find in, like, well, candy or whatever. Even like, you know, like regular white sugar that you would maybe put on your cereal, because they bleach it out and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, too much of having even a good sugar is a bad thing too. Here's another one I'm hoping everybody's 100% on: nicotine, that they're not doing that. White bread. And the reason we'd be the same as far as like the sugars or anything else is because they bleach out all the good stuff out of it. And then the last, I'm sorry, what?
Is a honey wheat bread pretty good?
Yep. Okay. Yep, it's not, pretty much any bread that's not white, you're pretty much good on.
Okay.
So there are ones that are a little bit better, you know, there's like, if you want to get the ones that are pretty much all good, my wife likes, they call it Ezekiel bread, and it's just made with all natural stuff. But there's a lot of them, like a lot of breads that will have like sugars and stuff like that, you know, that in there as well. So, but pretty much anything that's not white bread, you're good. Yep.
You can sweeten like cereal, a lot of stuff, things you won't sweeten.
Uh-huh.
With fruit.
Yep.
Yeah. Bananas.
Oh, definitely. Or you can even use honey. See, honey is a natural one as well. You can use, you know, on theirs too. Especially if you have allergies, go get like a local honey and stuff. That's supposed to help out with your allergies as well. So
I guess there usually mix yogurt,
mm-hmm,
cereal.
Yep. There's a lot of different ways, you know. And there's one more. Overeating. It's not good for you. So when your body tells you to stop. It's hard to do, because like to me, like if I go out to a buffet, I sit there and go, I want to get my money's worth. Because you're paying all that. That's why I try to stay away from, like, my daughter absolutely loves going to the Grecian Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, well, if I'm going to pay $9, $10 or whatever for the, I was like, I want to get my money's worth. And then I go and I walk out and I'm going, oh. It's like, why did I do that for? But, you know, that's why I suggest a lot of times staying away from a buffet. If you can go there and you have a good, you know, self-will, I mean, you're good. And you can stop yourself, you have good self-control. Then okay, but my wife actually, well, she'll go to the Grecian and actually get like the just a salad bar, and she's good, you know, good to go there as well. But to me, it's like I see all that there, and I just, you know, I gotta try something. Yep. So that's why I always suggest, like, you know, just getting your meal and all that kind of stuff. So there you go on that list. Is there any questions on, you know, I may be able to give you an answer. I'm not gonna say I'll give you a detailed answer of like why it's a problem, but. But some of those ones, you're probably going, well, that makes sense. So I pretty much, you know, stick along to the lines, you know, the more natural food that you eat, the better it's going to be for you. Why? Because God created it. The stuff that's made in a laboratory somewhere and whatever, not going to be good for you. It goes with, you know, kind of without saying. I mean, God made it. He made everything to be good, so that's going to be good for you. But then there's, you know, like, I mean, soda, for one thing, a lot of people... My gym teacher, when I was in college, told me this one. He said that soda, everybody will run to go get a soda, and they say because they're thirsty. And he says, when in actuality, it will make you thirstier. It'll make you more thirsty, you know, than you were before. And it also takes away things from you. Plus, they say that if you stop drinking soda altogether, that people have been known to lose anywhere from 5 to 15 pounds because soda will hold on to all the bad stuff. And so if you get that out of your system, you know, obviously that's going to be better for you as well. So, and then, you know, like I say, anything that says artificial or anything else. And if you want to, my wife and I, we've done these a couple times, you know, we've done different things, but so she knows like what to look for on labels. One of the things you watch out for on labels is when it says added sugar. Like, you know, especially if you have like juices, you'll say all natural juice, but then it'll say added sugars and it'll be like 15 grams of sugar. You know, like that kind of stuff. You just want to get the stuff, like I say, that's all natural, kind of looking down those kind of things. Like I said, my wife is good to know that kind of stuff, because she had to figure out, like when we were doing, they call it, what was it? Whole 30. And basically you do whole foods for 30 days. And even on that one, they tell you not to even have any breads or anything else, because they can, you know, it'll mask itself as sugar. And I'll tell you this, you don't think you have a lot of, you eat a lot of sugar. If you ever have done Whole 30, by day 20, all of a sudden you're going, I just need something sweet. And you're wanting sugar, like you're all of a sudden you're craving it. Why? Because your body has gone without it for 20 days up to that point. So then what you do is you just go grab some fruit and you're good to go, you know. But that's one of those things that I didn't realize as well. But we've done those. Whole 30 is like a 30-day, you know, kind of a thing. And she's found, you know, ways around different things. And you can eat healthy. Most people think that you can't eat healthy without being rich. They say all this organic food, and all, you can go to the store and probably buy about the same amount of food that's actually healthy for you. And when you begin to change from eating unhealthy to healthy, you don't necessarily eat as much. You're like, well, I need to have like 5 bags of potato chips while I'm sitting down. But if you switch that and you change it, and you go over there and you begin to say, you know, I just want some, you know, something healthy, like even like a steak or something like that, you'll find that you don't need to eat as much, because all that junk food, it just messes up your stomach. It just messes up all that kind of stuff on your insides and everything else. But you can eat like healthier stuff. It may take a little bit for your body to readjust, but after a while, when you eat the healthier foods and get rid of the unhealthy stuff tastes nasty to you, and the healthy stuff tastes good. I always wondered why healthy food tasted gross until I actually started eating it more, then it started tasting better, and then some of the other foods started tasting gross to me. It's whatever you're accustomed to eating, what do you keep on putting in your body that you get used to. So that's one of those things. And what I want to go on, I want to, you know, head back into, you know, the soul winning part of this for tonight. This will be a little short one that I want us to go through. But remember those questions that we need to ask at the beginning, right? Like, you know, this will be more like when you're ending the conversation. This is when you're trying to pull everything in. You're trying to pull everything in. And you're trying to get that, you know, and you're basically getting to that question of, do they want to receive Jesus? So what you're going to do is, you know, you can ask a question. When I first got here, make sure that you ask this question first before you say that. When I first got here, you weren't sure you were going to heaven, because they'll say, well, yeah, I wasn't sure. Okay. And say, so then from that point, if they acknowledge, yes, I wasn't sure I was going to heaven. Now you can ask them the questions of like, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for all of your sins? Okay. And these are kind of like death, burial, and resurrection questions that I'm going to say. Do you believe that he rose from the dead? This is all talked about in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And do you believe that he physically walked out of the grave? The reason why you ask him, do you believe that he physically walked out? Because there are some people that believe in the swoon theory, that Jesus only just passed out and that was it. And that he didn't really actually, you know, die. He just passed out. But obviously, if they were to realize what they did to him for the crucifixion, there's nobody that's just going to pass out from that. I mean, and then what you can show to him is the fact, you know, that also that Jesus had showed his disciples the holes in his hands, that he actually had them physically put his, put their fingers into his hands and into his side. In that, you know, especially with Thomas, he did that with. one of the next questions, like I said, if I go too fast, just let me know. One of the next questions you may want to ask him, you'll probably ask next is, if Jesus were standing here right now and you were to ask him to save you, would he do it? And is there anything you can do to mess that up? In other words, is there, if you're saved, you know, if you're saved, you know, can you lose your eternal life? And the Bible never says that you can, never says that you can lose your eternal life. So there's, that's why you have some people out there, and this is, we talked about this a little bit last week. We have some people who say, well, once I'm saved, I'm always saved. And the thing is that you have some people that have this attitude of going, well, I can just do whatever I want to do. But if you're truly living for Jesus, you're not going to want to try and sin or try to get something past him, or you're not going to try. It's just like if you're, you know, in a, you know, truly loving marriage, you're not going to try to, you know, see how, what you can do to, you know, get them to leave you. You're going to try and please them as much as you can, right? And so that, you know, that's because you love them. And so that's the, you know, that's the thing that we have to do. And so after you ask those questions, you say, you know, before I go, is it all right if I, you know, if I pray with you to receive Jesus? And then you could just ask them, or if they say yes, then you can just say, repeat after me. And this doesn't, as we talked about last week, does not have to be some big, long, elaborate prayer. It can go something along these lines. And I'm going to read it. So if you miss it, you know, whatever, I'll read it again. But basically, dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. But I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again. Please save me right now. Give me eternal life. I'm only trusting in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Or if a person has a problem, like they, you know, maybe stutter or stammer over their words, you can even shorten that even more, because, you know, obviously we know the Lord looks upon the heart and say, you know, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Would you save me right now? Because you already asked them the questions of, like, do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins? And if they answered yes to all those, you know, ones, that he rose from the dead and that he physically walked out of the grave, all those things, then you could pray, you know, like I say, an even shorter prayer. Because sometimes people get tongue-tied when they're up there. You see me on Sunday mornings. You know how, you know, a person can get tongue-tied. Just remember, it's not the words that save them. It's the believing in their heart and the confessing with their mouth that's going to save them. Now, I don't suggest you go, and I don't think I don't suggest you saying to them, I don't think you believe that. I think you need to pray again, because we don't know necessarily what's going on with them. And obviously, this is maybe a situation you may run into if it's a mom and there's kids at home and they're just kind of running around, mom, pulling it. You might want to just, you know, say, hey, is there a better time, like maybe when they're taking a nap or something like that, that I can come and talk to you about it? Because no matter what you say, I mean, she may want to hear about it. But how many of you know if you got kids pulling on you, you know, grandkids or whatever, you're not going to be paying attention. You're just going to, you know, kind of be. And so it's a nice thing to say, I can come back later whenever they are. And make sure you keep that appointment, you know, and just say, hey, you know what, I'll come back later when they're asleep and we can talk about this. Like that kind of stuff. Let's see here. I've already hit on some of those. Well, and the other thing is that you'll have some people say, well, I've already prayed that prayer. But you're also bringing them a different gospel a lot of times. You know, that you're bringing them a different gospel in the fact that you're bringing them the true gospel, because there's a lot of them out there that say you can't be saved unless you're baptized or unless you speak in tongues or unless you, and it's all these works things. You know, repent of your sins, all these kind of things in order for you to get saved. Now, should you get baptized? Yes. You know, should you be spirit-filled? Yes. Should you, you know, should you repent of, you know, of sin? Yes. but that's not required for salvation. So you have all these ones that are talking about works and everything else to try to get in there. And the thing is that those aren't going to save you. I've seen many of people get baptized and were never truly saved. They just wanted to do it because their family was sitting out there and they wanted to make them happy. Of course, I've also been to Bible college where the kids said that they were going to go become a pastor because they just wanted their parents to leave them alone. I mean, I know that sounds strange that, you know, people would go to Bible college, you know, just trying to and not actually be a Christian. But there's quite a few. And so that's one of those things, you know, you just, when they say, I've already prayed that prayer, you know, just say, well, it's not praying the prayer that saves you. It's just that you believe on Jesus and you fully trust him. And when I got here, you know that you're good. And, you know, some people say, well, my good outweighs the bad and everything else. But when you came here, you told me about the reasons why, but none of them were actually the real reason, you know, for you to get saved. And so, obviously, if you got them to this point, they wanted to make sure that they were 100% sure, and they weren't. If you look at First John chapter 5, verse 13. If you had the small Bible, the one that, whatever, it's page 348. All right. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The fact that he said, and here's another thing, I were talking about this last week about, you know, King James and everything else. When you're out there and if somebody has a problem, you know, like somebody or you yourself have, you get tongue-tied when you, you know, see the word like ye or thou or whatever, or believeth, it's okay for you to change it to you, all right? Or if it says believeth, you can say believes, because that's all that means, all right? So I don't want you to say, but, you know, the point right here is that it says ye may know that you have eternal life. How do you know? Believing upon Jesus. That right there, he says, that you may know. It shouldn't be a fact of, if a person says, well, I already prayed that prayer, I'm good enough, and they're going over there saying, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. That kind of is almost like a telltale sign that they don't know what it truly means to be saved. That they're looking at the fact of, you know, because I asked this question before, you know, how many sins does it take for you to lose your salvation? How many sins do you have to commit in order for God to say you're not saved anymore? The Bible never says. All right? Or the fact of that it says that you may know that you have eternal life. And, I mean, he's making the statement. Jesus, you know, made the same statement in John chapter 6, verse 47, where he said, that you may know that you have eternal life by believing upon me. Okay? And so these are things that a person can be assured of, that there's, that your security is eternal, that it's in Christ. Because we're basing everything, upon Jesus, right? Not upon what we can do. We can, say we repent of our sins. We can say that, we can go out and say, hey, look at me, I got baptized. Or I repented of my sins, or I do this or this or this. That's not, I mean, remember what Jesus says in Matthew, where he says, the person says, well, Lord, did I not do this in your, did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not do, prophesy in your name? Did I not? And Jesus says, what? Depart from me for what? I never knew you. Not that I used to know you, but that I never knew you. So if we're trusting in our works, whether it be, like I say, through baptism or through whatever, all those things, that we're trusting in us still, and we need to trust upon Jesus to say, it's all on Jesus. It's everything. Faith alone in Jesus. For what does it say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9? It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It doesn't say through baptism, church attendance, or anything else. Those are all good things, but those are not what save you. Those are good things that we should do, but they don't save you, right? All right. And so, let me see here. And if the person, you know, still insists in saying, that they just keep on going, say, okay, I believe the same thing. Just, you know what? Just let it go. There's no point for you arguing with the person. You know, if they say, I believe the same thing, and they did whatever, maybe they do, and they just didn't understand the question. But don't sit, just kind of let it go and just invite them to church. Just say, hey, you know what? Here you go. And we talked about, tracks and stuff, and actually which I have ordered those. And so we have like 1,000 of them coming. So let me see, there's 6,000 here in Caruthersville. So, and I'm assuming there's, more and over in Hayti, there's more people over there. So, and the whole thing is that if a person ever gets the point of saying, I've done this, or I don't want to hear it, or however far you are along in the conversation, if they seem like they're almost like mad that you're saying something, just say, hey, I'd like to leave you with one. If you can't even get a scripture out, if you can't say, hey, I'd like to leave you with one scripture, you may just take out that, gospel track and just say, I just want to give you one thing, and then just say, you have a good day. And just, you don't want, somebody getting all violent towards you just because you're trying to share Jesus. I mean, but there are people that will get mad that way. I mean, they'll get mad. And so, but our whole goal is to make sure that they understand the gospel and that we can assist them to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. That's our whole goal, is for them to understand it, and hopefully we can, help them call upon the name of the Lord to get saved. I mean, there's a thing out here that says, save people, serve people, but I would almost digress and say that it's actually save people. That's one of our, not saying that, obviously that we're saving them, but it's the fact that we go out there, we're the messenger, and that, we're out there trying to get them saved, so they can, be with us for all of eternity. And then, but if the person actually prays the prayer, and you can tell, whether or not you can tell they meant it or not, just say, you could always just say to them, and this may be something that you're kind of feeling out if you don't know, but you just say, hey, you meant that, didn't you? And you know what the Bible says, that you're on your way to heaven. And usually a person at that point, if you say that kind of stuff, they'll start smiling. I mean, think about it, just like we were, we're in darkness, now we're in light. We were on our way to hell, but now we're on our way to heaven. It should cause us to smile. Of course, you get those ones that are still a little bit grumpy afterward. You may get those ones that are still a little grumpy, but you just say, you know what? You're on your way to heaven. If you were to die right now, that's where you would go. You would go to heaven. If they truly, but like I said, it's not really for us to sit there and say whether or not they meant it or not. But you can kind of, tell us sometimes, but I say that. But then, like I said, I've told you stories where I went out and I prayed with someone, and I'm like, that was almost like, I felt like it was like a lost cause. I'm like, there was no point to that. That was just a waste of my time. And then they've been, back, they started going to, the church, started getting involved, started, going out and helping people get saved and everything else. So you can't really tell by what a person shows. There could be that grumpy person that you have, and who knows, that person all of a sudden can just show up at church and just... And they are, and they're saved. Sometimes God has to deal with certain things with people. I was sitting there talking to my daughter. Today, somebody was coming on over, and they said, "Hey, did you know so and so smokes?" And I said, "No, actually, I didn't." They said, "Well, they shouldn't really do that if they love Jesus." And I said, "Well, it's true, they shouldn't do that." I said, "But I was also trying to make a point to my daughter." I said, but, sometimes, people still have, still go through that kind of stuff. Kind of like sometimes people, like to, want to find things out about other people, and they keep talking about them and everything else instead of actually getting to know them and hoping that they, she kind of missed that entire point that I was trying to make, that, don't be like a gossip just saying, well, they should be doing this and they shouldn't be doing that. But, it's just one of those things. Sometimes people, they deal with stuff afterwards. Actually, I would say probably 99% of, I shouldn't say some, 99% of people deal with stuff afterwards. It's not miraculous. Sometimes people, they just, they get saved and God just does a miraculous thing and they don't deal with that. But there's something else that they deal with. You know what I'm saying? Like Steve-O, he talked about how the fact that, he was a smoker, always smoked and everything else, had that problem and everything else. And then he said one day, he just said, "I'm done with these," and laid them down on the altar and said, "I'm done." It's just one of those things that, Sometimes you just, you know, sometimes people deal with things, and then, you know, God gives you the strength, and you say, you know what, I'm done with this. But here's one of the things I want to encourage you with, you know, I'm going to end with this, is that if there is something that you deal with, and this has nothing to do with soul winning, but if there's something that you deal with, and you feel like God, you know, gives you the strength to do it, but yet maybe there's something that you fall back into, don't give up on, because if you've been doing it for a long period of time, sometimes it takes a little time for you to get past that. I mean, I told myself that I wanted to stop, you know, swearing and everything else. And pretty much after 30 days, I was good to go. But there were still times even after that, you know, hammer slip and, you know, hit your finger and whatever. Sometimes, you know, just because it's so ingrained in you, that comes, you know, that came out, you know. But those things, you know, you just keep on going at it. You keep on working at it. And so what you want to do is, sorry, and this is the part I'm going to end on. So when I, you know, when we came to that part where it says, hey, you know, you really meant that, didn't you? You know, that if you were to die right now, you'd be going to heaven. You know, that you're on your way to heaven. What you want to do in that moment is, after they pray that prayer, is that you want to create assurance. You don't want to create doubt. Because Satan will do that enough. And you don't want to play the devil's advocate on the other side of it and go, you sure you meant that? Because the devil later on is going to go, nah, you didn't mean it. You didn't mean it at all. No. You want to create that assurance, you know, in that, you know, in them, and you don't want to create doubt. And then if you're able to, if you have like a New Testament or anything else, and we have, I think some of you around the church and stuff that are even a Bible, give them something. If we don't have it around or the church is closed at the moment, I know you can go to Dollar General, or sorry, not Dollar General, Dollar Tree, and they have Bibles there for like a, you know, a dollar. So you can, you know. And if you're really strapped for money, just give us the receipt. We'll reimburse you for it. Because we want them to actually read God's word. We don't want to say, oh, sorry, I don't have any. But just, you know, if they want to do that, that's something good. And then when you do that, give them an attainable goal. Tell them to read the Gospel of John. Why? Why do we keep going back to the Gospel of John? The whole point, you know, remember we went through the Gospel of John, was that ye may believe. We want, you know, an entire book that's about salvation. That's basically what in the gospel is. Is like the gospel of salvation. It's all about salvation in there. And our God is to help people and to love people. And so our last class that we'll have will be next week, when we're going to talk about different religions that you're going to encounter. And you will encounter them. I know that, you know, this is the Bible Belt still, you know, for the most part. But you're going to inquire, or you're going to hear about different religions and different, you know, thoughts and everything else. And someone may not know that they're believing certain things, but if you know what it is, you'll know exactly where they're coming from. They may have like Jehovah's Witnesses beliefs, but they may not know what it's called. Or Mormons, or, you know, different things that are out there. But that's one of those things where you, when you listen, you know, if you listen for it, you can kind of go. And that doesn't mean that you just go, well, you're believing like a Mormon. It just helps you at that standpoint to say, in your mind going, I know where they're coming from, and I know this is where this is leading. And a lot of times, when they talk about things and they talk about different philosophies, it's the fact that it's all about works. Every religion out there, Christianity is the only one that's by faith alone. Every religion out there is about works to get you into heaven, or you have to do something or hope that something works out for you. Like I can give you, I talked about it, you know, I think last week we were talking about Muslims. They believe that if, in order for them to get to heaven, that their good works have to outweigh their bad works. And they don't really know that. They don't really know if one is greater than the other. They don't know. That's why they keep going on and doing all the stuff in the book. And just so you know, killing an infidel is considered a good work. But they will... what they believe is that when you die, God will let you drop towards hell. And then while he's measuring the, you know, those, or, you know, measuring the, you know, kind of put on the scale of, does Asia have good works or bad works or whatever, kind of going through that whole thing. If your good works outweigh your bad works, then he'll come in at the last minute, at the last second, and just, you get to go up into paradise. But if they don't, you just fall right into hell. But, you know, that's their whole philosophy. And like I said, I could start going on these other ones, you know, but they have that philosophy that that's the way it's going to be.